Amen. We want the Lord's presence to reign on us forever. Amen. And as we abide in God, we know that God's going to pour out his blessing upon us and just rain on us by the presence of his Holy Spirit, just to touch us and bless us in every way. As we bless God, he will bless us. Amen. And so we just look to God to do a great and a mighty thing in our lives. As that's our hope, isn't it? As God's people, the word says, you know, we are trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. And that's what God wants us to be, that we'll be seed sowers, people who will reach out and touch others to come to know Jesus Christ in a wonderful way. And so, Lord God, I just pray for that tonight. Lord, as I speak forth your word, I pray for your presence to be upon myself, Lord, that I will speak forth your word, Father, that it might touch someone's heart tonight. Lord, someone would be challenged and convicted in every way, Father. Lord, for each and every person here, Father. Lord, that seed that you sown in every person's heart here tonight. Lord, we just pray for that seed just to continue to grow and bear forth much fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'm going to speak about seed, sowing seed. And I've got some wheat notes there, which I'll talk about as I move along. But right from the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the crowds followed, didn't they? And Jesus taught and spoke in parables, and he done that so all of his followers were able to grasp hold of the deeper truths and the meaning of the gospel that Jesus was bringing them. As we know, people, all they knew then was the law, and this person of Jesus Christ coming was ushering in a new teaching that he was wanting to bring to the heart of the people. And as we know, Jesus, he didn't say anything to his followers without using parables. He probably said a lot of things, but mostly when Jesus was speaking to people where crowds followed him, he spoke parables. And probably as he went through the vineyard of people, or through the wheat fields, or through the sea, he spoke about all those things that people could relate to and to take hold of and understand the things that he was talking about. He gave the earthly illustration, but he gave the spiritual application that applied to the things of the earth. But we see there that Jesus done that. He used these parables to illustrate the truths, to stimulate thinking, and to awaken that spiritual perception to be upon them. You know, the disciples, you know, Jesus spoke many things, and they sort of, I can't say they looked at him blank, but, you know, that they questioned things that Jesus said, didn't they? And they asked him, even when he was speaking about his, that he was going to be killed and betrayed and be killed and taken before all the governments and all that sort of thing. And the disciples just didn't quite understand. And so that spiritual awakeness had to come about, and also the people in general, they weren't ready for the full truth of the gospel, and so that unfolded. But when Christ was alone with the disciples, Jesus taught very deeply with them. I'm sure he spoke of those things that he wouldn't speak in public. And in that way, he spoke more specifically, and as I said, probably just reiterating things where he might have mentioned something. And when they got alone in private, he said, "Now, listen, boys, this is what I mean, and this is how, you know." And so he explained it fully that they were able to understand. And it's the same for us, isn't it? We have times away from the preaching of the word, in our various group, youth groups, ladies, men's, all that type of thing. But in those places, we probably go into a little bit more in-depth study, don't we? And the learning of the Word and just spending time in the Word to receive what a great understanding. And we do that, don't we, of the Scriptures. But in Jesus' early ministry, he didn't waste any time emphasising the need for to reach people who were lost. Right from the beginning, you know, from the time Christ was born, there was a universal cry went out. And as we know, John the Baptist ushered that in. John went about, you know, preparing the way, preaching the message, repent and be baptized. But he was the forerunner of Christ and just making the way open for Christ to come in that way. But even then, God had it on his heart, didn't he, to touch the world, because as we know, it's God's heart that all men should be saved. And so we see there that God had it on his heart and brought Jesus to us so he would be able to touch a lost world. But to do that. But in Matthew 9 and verse 35 there, Jesus, he expressed the urgency and the need for people to be touched because of there was a great need around them. And Christ spoke about that. And as it says there, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. That was the heart of Christ, wasn't it? He had compassion on them. He could see the state they were in because they were harassed and helpless. He said they were like sheep without a shepherd. So what does Christ do here? He sees that need, so he prompts the disciples into action. And he says, look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And it's the same for us in our community today, isn't it? Our community is ripe for harvest, and we need to be touching our community more, reaching out more with the message of Christ, you know, to fulfill the Great Commission, the words that Jesus spoke when he said, go ye out into all the world and preach to every tribe and nation and to make disciples. And there is telling the harvest, the disciples, you know, the harvest is ripe. He said the harvest is plentiful, but there's a problem there, wasn't there? There was a labour shortage. And still today, you know, there are millions of people in the world still haven't heard the gospel, but there's a shortage of people, just as it was then. There was a labour problem. And so Christ is telling the disciples there that there's not enough workers to bring in the harvest. And so we have to bring more workers in, more labourers in. And so he said to them, he told them to pray for more workers. And we need to be doing that all the time. You know, we are kingdom people, aren't we? And we want to be building the kingdom of God. And the only way we can build the kingdom in our way is to bring people, for them to come to know Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we do that. Well, how do we get more workers? How do we do that? Any ideas? Yeah, we speak. I think you said we reach. That's the ultimate thing, Marie. Thank you. You know, we have to touch people, reach out, tell people the good news that Jesus lives. Amen? So we need to do that. And above all, it says, ask the Lord of the harvest to help you. And so we need to do that. We need to get on this recruiting drive to overcome this labour shortage in the kingdom of God. So we see in the 10th chapter of Matthew there that where Jesus gathered all his disciples together and spoke to them. And shouldn't do that. Okay, Jesus got all his disciples together. He called his 12 disciples and told them, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and go to heal every disease and sickness. And it goes on to lay it all out. But Jesus called the 12 together. As I said, you know, God was in the business of multiplication, wasn't he? He called one man from one seed. Jesus Christ came. And then Christ called the 12 apostles. So it was there already multiplied by 12, 12 times one that were there. Well, they were already added to. They're on their way to this ministry. But here we see where Jesus, he empowers the disciples, say, go out and do all these things. Drive out evil spirits and heal every disease and sickness. And he gave them a whole list of instructions there, right through the chapter there, about what they were doing and what not to do. He told them, he used that... there, particularly down the page there, he told them the things they had to do and the things they had to avoid. But he said to them, as you go, preach the message. That was the whole crux of the whole thing, the emphasis on the thing above about the healing or the diseases. But Jesus said, preach the message. And that's all we have to do. That's all we're asked to do, is to preach the message, to do what we've been told the word to do. Preach the word. We have to speak the word. Amen? We do that. He said to them, so don't be afraid. He said, there's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or anything hidden that will not be made known. As we know, the great mystery, it will be revealed in the end times and in the last days, all that type of thing. It'll be made known to us. But to Jesus, again, he's saying to the disciples, it's there. He said to them, what I told you in the dark. Remember I said a while back how Jesus spent time with his disciples. And so he says here, what I told you in the dark, speak in the daylight. And that's the message to us today. The things you read at home in your private place, in your prayer, Christ wants that for us to speak it out, to touch others, to bring them into the place where we are. He says, what is whispered in the ear, proclaim it from the rooftop. Amen. Let it be heard. Let people see you and shine your light. And there's this great harvest. So as we know, to reap a harvest, there has to be a planting. And so we see here, Jesus instructed them how to plant, how to go about doing this. And he told that by the way of the parable, giving the illustration of the farmer who planted the seed. And he also spoke about the things that would either help or hinder that seed's growth. He spoke how carefully a planted seed would produce much fruit. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's about producing the fruit, producing much fruit, producing more seed. And the prophets of old spoke about the seed, how a root would rise up from the tribe of Jesse, the seed that was sown long, long ago, for how this would all take place. And the tree of Jesse refers to a passage in the book of Isaiah where it says there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Already then, it was being prophesied, it would be spoken about how the seed would come about. And we know in Matthew's gospel, it opens with the word there, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. With this beginning here, Matthew, he makes it clear the whole lineage that where Jesus is coming from. He is of God's chosen people by the descendant of Abraham. He is the shoot of Jesse, and by his descent from Jesse, Jesse's son, King David. Amen? And so, as we know, the birth of Jesus come about in Matthew 1:18 there, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so there we see how the seed of Christ was sown for him to become the born as a child like we all were, and to come in to be the saviour of the world. So we see there a seed was sown, wasn't it? A seed was sown. That was the start of a powerful and a prosperous propagation. You know, there was a planting by God, and the word of God coming alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we know, when something gets sown and germinates, it grows and it reproduces itself. And in the physical, we see that many times over, don't we? There is an abundance that comes from planting one seed. Amen? There is an abundance of one seed. So the Holy Spirit planted one seed. Jesus started out as one. He immediately began the task of evangelizing by recruiting prospective disciples. And as we know, as I said a moment ago, he gathered his 12 disciples, who in turn went about doing the works and preaching the gospel as Christ did. Amen? And so the command of go you into the entire world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit all took place. And from that moment of that moment of empowerment, there was a great multiplication, and there was the start of this great triumphant procession and the kingdom of God's people. You know, it gathered great momentum, didn't it, as the gospel was preached and was spoken. Jesus recruited 12. What did he do next? He sent out 72, didn't he? Another multiplication, six times over. And so, do you believe that, you know, we have a God of abundance? Amen. Amen. And so, just to again remind you, what Jesus spoke, he spoke about the parable of the sower. He said to them, and he spoke about of how when good seed fell on good soil, where seed fell on good soil, it reproduced itself in abundance. A crop that produced some 100, 60 or 30 times of what was sown. And so you may have wondered why I've got these things here. It's a stalk of wheat and there's some oats. That's your breakfast food. A bit of wheat. But we're up the farm the other day and had Raj with me, and he's asking me, how does all this grow, John, you know? So I went through a great, gave him a horticultural lesson of all about, you know, how this takes place. And I pulled this out on my cousin's farm up in the Mallee, up at Oyen there. And I was picking it up and looking at it. I said, oh, three stalks. I thought, what's that mean? And I thought, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Lord of the harvest. Is good. Is this how God shows us things? When you look at things, you know, something that there every day, a farmer, you know, he goes around sowing seed, and I don't know how many farmers would look at that and say, yeah, it's got three stalks and it's grown three heads. And I said, there's a God of abundance. You want to count how many seeds are in there? Can you do that? Hey, get your pen. And you just sort of, they're in fours here. If you go two, four, you know, so seeds, you just count them roughly. Start there. How many?
20.
20, yeah. Three times 20. 60. 60-fold, amen? So you see how God reproduces himself, he does. But, you know, in the things where God is a God of abundance, God cares for us. He wants us. This is what God gave us to live by, to live off. And so you know, in his wisdom and all that, God is supreme, you know. He gives us abundance, and we should. This crop was stunted by lack of rain. Then it got rain on, and it started shooting up again. See these little bits. I pulled some of them off because I would have made a heck of a mess. But it started shooting again. You know, when God put out more rain, it started shooting. So it created a problem for the farmer. He had to wait for all this bottom stuff to dry off before he can come and cut the heads, because he'd get all this green growth that came up to about there. So you see there, you get the picture of what I'm saying, how God is a God of abundance. And it's Jesus said, you know, he said, look out there, look at that harvest, it's ripe. He probably walking past the field and said, look, it's ready for picking. And says, we look at our community around us, you know, we have to touch a lot of people. We have to win a lot of people for Christ. And if we win one soul with Christ, That's what Jesus was saying. He's saying, look what can happen if we win one person. Look at some of the great evangelists, how many people they won for Christ, you know. And there's people like yourselves, you know, a lot of them are always speaking forth the word, and, you know, winning people for Christ. And we don't know if there's going to be a Billy Graham or someone in our midst who's going to speak to millions of people, or Reinhard Bonnke, someone like that. The one person. That's what, you know, we just have to get in it, that concept of what God is telling us, is showing us how he is a God of abundance. And if we're prepared to speak forth the word, we do that. So there, that's the seed wheat. But these are the oats. You notice one thing about, I noticed how they're all close together, the seeds. How they protect one another. They keep each other, hold each other up. I don't want to spoil this, but you get that and you just rub it like that, and if it falls out into your hand, and you blow the seed away and taste it, it's good. Taste and see. The Lord is good. But again, the same principle with the oats. There's three stalks on there too, on each one. And you see, but go on, you're a good counter. How many on there? About 42. Yeah. Okay, so that's some of my son's crop, Ross and I. It's at Ross's farm. I always say wheat. But it grew. Ross and I planted this. He was driving a cultivator and I was sowing the seed. So I didn't put it in upside down. It grew well. And this is organic. I can recommend it. It's fully organic. It didn't have any fertilizer or manure of any sort on it. So for a first-time crop, that's pretty good. And just last week, he cut it all and baled it, and he's got some 1,500 or 1,600 bales. Now you see how, you know, how the principle of the, you know, how God multiplies, the God of abundance. Out of one little seed, you know, it produces 60. And he grew like about 12, 14 bags of seed, and he's got 1,600 bales of hay in return for it. So, you know, it's good. Yeah. But you get what I'm saying. If we are prepared to sow the seed, amen, how God can multiply what we do there. But there. From one seed, three stalks. And as I sort of got that picture, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So I thought of it. Come to me, and I thought, well, it's a good illustration there. And so what we see from each stalk, you know, there's a gathering of the seeds, there's a coming together. And, you know, as one people, as we draw in, we expand in every way. And there, so we do that and need to do that more. But as we know, seed germination depends on internal and external conditions, and the most important external factors for seeds particularly anyway includes the temperature, the water and oxygen, you know, and sometimes light and darkness, all the things that Christ spoke about, you know, that needs for these seeds to germinate and to grow. And different seeds, as we know, they all have different variables of germination, but the same can be said of what takes place when the word of God is spoken into our life. The word is spoken, isn't it? It's sown in, and then that, as a person accepts Christ, as they grow, you know, there's a real process takes place. But first of all, in a person's life, it just needs the presence of the Holy Spirit, doesn't it, to convict a person's heart. And once God does that, you know, for that heart to be softened, to receive what is to be planted. Before that seed was sown, we had to dig up ground, had to plow, make it soft, so that the roots could grow down and do all that sort of thing. And so that takes place, you know, our heart has to be softened to allow Christ to come in. And the person who's the receiver just needs to be surrounded by the presence of God, amen, and to protect that seed that's been sown. Because as we know, the seed can be snatched away. When we're sowing that seed there, I was down one end of the paddock and the cockies, the birds, are up the other end. A great mob of galahs and those yellow-crested cockatoos, they just come down, a couple of hundred of them, and into that nice seed, and they were having a... I was hoping they'd eaten the onion weed seed, but I don't know. Whatever, you know. So you get how Jesus spoke about, you know, the birds will devour the seed. And when that crop was cut, you could look and see, yeah, I didn't go straight there with a tractor. There's a bit of a gap, you know. And so, you know, like it says, you know, when you put your... turn to the things of God, you don't look back. But on farming, when you're driving a tractor, you have to watch where you're going. But you can see where we, you know, if I wasn't a straight line with the cedar. But also, there's a few bare spots where the ground was very hard, you know, where the tines of the cultivator didn't go down. And so that's what needs to be done, you know. There's a lot of deep digging within us. Things have got to be broken, haven't they? As we know, this, we all carry a bit of baggage, and that's got to be broken down and to allow the Spirit of God just to come in and to nurture that seed, to help it germinate, to help it grow. And so... as I said there about the seeds being close together and sort of helping protect one another there, we need each other, don't we? We need to protect each other, stand close together as God wants us to be in unity. You can see how precision those seeds are all in a little cluster there, and the same there, they're all in a formation sort of thing. And that's how God wants us to be. He wants us to be orderly, to do things the right way. And we just need the support of God and God's people, don't we? You know, it's the support of other believers so, you know, that we won't be devoured. As I said, the birds straight away come to pinch the seed, but and that's what Jesus was saying. He said, likewise, the devil comes in to snatch what has been sown, to take it away. And there's nothing more heartbreaking, is it, when we see someone come to Christ and suddenly fall away. So we need to be just supporting each other in every way. But as I come to a close now, but I just want, as I said, the emphasis of tonight's word is about planting seed, amen? Planting the word of God. If we are prepared to sow, God will reap. We will reap a harvest. If we're prepared to do that hard work, to dig the ground and to help soften people's hearts and be a witness and all that thing, God will do the rest there in every way. It's about us testifying, isn't it? And telling those who don't know Jesus that there is a better way to live. Amen? And so, as I said, it's all about Jesus, you know, and telling someone that Jesus loves and cares about our well-being, about our well-being, and that Jesus Christ died for them that they might believe. Amen? So I just trust tonight that message has touched us and maybe even challenged and convicted your heart, you know, the need. Over the last few weeks, we've been sharing in the world missions evangelization, the course that we ran there. And we spoke a lot about, you know, about seed being sown and about reaching a lost world, a lost people. And we spoke about it, came up many, many times. But there is that urgency, isn't there? There is a real urgency there, you know, for us to reach out and to touch people who don't know Jesus Christ. As we know, the sign on the door, you know, you're entering a mission field. As soon as we go out there, out through those doors, you're out there in the field, and there's people there who are just waiting for us to touch them and to bring them to know the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Lord, we just bless you and thank you, Father God. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that you placed before us, the opportunity to speak forth your word, Father. Lord, that wherever we go, to whoever we meet, Lord, we'll have the boldness and the courage to speak forth. Lord, that we'll speak about the love of Jesus. We'll speak about your grace. Lord, we'll speak about your provision. Lord, we'll speak about your healing powers. We'll speak about your goodness, Lord God, of how you want us to be a part of your wondrous kingdom. So, Lord, let that be upon each person's heart tonight, Lord. Lord, as they go out into the coming week, Lord, Lord, they will see that need and they'll be compelled to speak to someone, just to take that moment to say, Lord, give me the words to speak. I don't know this person, but I'm going to speak them. I'm going to tell them that Lord, that Jesus loves them and Jesus wants them to invite him into their life. And so, Lord, we just pray that, Father. Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, Lord, as we sow seeds, Lord, they will germinate and grow. and reproduce and many times over, Father. We will see that growth, Father. We'll see your kingdom grow in every way as people come to know you. So, Lord, we just bless you tonight. Lord, as we just go into another week, Lord, just take us to our homes in safety with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If anyone needs prayer tonight for whatever reason, you may have been challenged about the message tonight. You know, if there's something that is something's come upon you, if God's touching you now about that need and you're not just quite sure how to go about it or what you want to do, or you might need just prayer for that strength, I'll just come forward and I'll be happy to share with you and pray God's power upon you in Jesus' name. Amen.